to the first Sugar Show podcast that is entitled Sugar and Soul. So I want to introduce you to Rachel Chisenhall, who is quickly becoming one of my favorite people for lots of reasons, and you'll see why in just a moment. But because she really is the professional that can help us through all of these soul-filled, sweet moments, hard moments. It's been quite a year. It's going to be, there's going to be a lot of change to come. So we actually met in my salon the few weeks that we were able to open. We actually met then, and we got to chatting because, you know, I'm not shy. We got to chatting and realized that there's so much that we can offer all of you. So we decided to make it a series. So the first episode here, we'll start with the Sugar Show podcast. And then once a month, we're going to pick a topic and we're going to really dive deep into that area to help you as a sugar practitioner understand exactly how to handle this part of your soul and your client's soul. So Rach, tell them a little bit about yourself, girl.
Thank you so much, Ms. Shannon.
I love hanging on the couch with you.
I know. I hope it's comfy.
It is.
So I am a licensed marriage family therapist. I've been a therapist for about 12 years. And I also do trauma work for Sutter Health. And what that means, I work for their EAP. So I primarily provide therapy and resources and support for the nurses and doctors and healthcare workers, which you can imagine are needing a lot of therapy and support right now.
Oh, yeah.
So sometimes I do on-site work like that. I'll go to the different hospitals or ICUs for COVID stress right now is primarily, but also fires that happen in California that we also are dealing with and have been dealing with. So I've been doing that for about 6 years as well. And at my practice here in Folsom, what I primarily specialize in working with women, teenagers too, and just really helping clients that are struggling with anxiety, self-esteem stuff, eating disorders, or disordered eating, what I really actually call it more. People who struggle with body image, dieting, all those kind of things, yeah.
So now you can see why I brought her on, because all of those things we need to talk about, and we will talk about in the next episodes. So let's just start off by defining anxiety, because we started talking about this because, as you all know in the Sugar Show audience, I am not shy. I've got a smile on my face all the time. In fact, my husband said, how is it possible, it was back in April, he's like, how is it possible that you like are constantly doing fine? And I didn't think twice about it, because it's just who I am, and I'm just kind of like, all right, we got this, you know, we can do this together. And I didn't realize that I was actually carrying anxiety, because how can you not in 2020, right? I don't care who you are, priest, pastor, therapist, yes, sugar mama, we all have got anxiety this year. Everyone is going through it.
Right.
So I realized that I am actually have got anxiety, just like you do, and mm-hmm. you're the therapist,
right?
But what actually is anxiety?
Yeah.
What is that?
Yeah, so definitely anxiety 2020 is real, for sure. And I don't think you're going to find a person, no matter what they're doing, like you said, that's not struggling with anxiety right now, to some degree.
Yeah.
And a lot of times that anxiety can manifest different ways for sure. So I'll say the most common symptoms that I've heard since the beginning of the COVID pandemic have been, I can't sleep, Rachel, and everyone's bothering me. And everyone bothering me is actually really an anxiety symptom, because it's irritability, truly at its core. And irritability is often very much an anxiety or depression symptom. And a lot of people don't realize that. They just kind of actually start blaming themselves, like I'm being impatient, or, you know, I'm yelling at my kids more. I don't like my coworkers I usually like. I've been hearing that. And it's irritability. So when our plates are super full already, and then something like a pandemic happens, it tips them. And if we're not doing things to kind of figure out a way to put stuff back, or get a bigger plate even, then, yeah, we're going to be really irritable.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think I can see that, because sometimes things will come up and I'm like, ah,
right.
Why am I?
Right. Why does it bother me?
Why is my wick this thin?
Exactly.
You know?
Right.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Normally, you know, we're strong babes.
Right. Well, and especially social media, I've been hearing that a lot from healthcare workers. Tons of my healthcare worker clients have said I had to delete my social media. that it's really difficult to just, you know, feel the argument and things being posted, and it takes very little right now I think, get us to the end of that.
I think you might feel like you're fine, but you don't realize that all of the images that we see, from riots to deaths with COVID, you know, to children and, you know, trafficking, like all the stuff that's going on, it's, we're just bombarded. And no matter how we consciously feel like, oh, I can compartmentalize that, subconsciously can't.
It's going to eventually catch up to you. And so, you know, there are ways that we cope with anxiety and depression that are, I don't want to, healthier than others. And what I usually define a healthy coping skill versus a not healthy coping skill, because they both actually do cope, is I want to pick coping skills that don't give me more consequences. So, for example, I'm sure we've all seen all the funny memes about how much everyone's drinking right now to deal with the anxiety and depression.
Drunk teachers that are
drunk moms at 11 a.m. starting school. And I get the humor in that. I do. I find them funny. However, that would be a coping skill that for some people perhaps would create more consequences later on.
So you think drinking at 11 with the kids?
I understand the appeal. I'm not judging. I really, really understand the appeal. Probably thought about it myself. However, I also
know the best choice.
When I sober up, I still get probably the same anxiety and depression symptoms, only now I have a hangover, or I can't drive, or I don't feel very good. So those are other consequences that come with that coping skill.
And you're not exactly like teaching your children the best way. And it's counterproductive.
We don't want little Johnny having to, you know, shake mom. To wake her up. One thing with anxiety that I think a lot of people don't realize is that it's actually your brain's way of protecting you. So anxiety is what keeps us alive. If I have a bear running at me, I really want my brain to become anxious. Because it's going to tell me to do something. And that sometimes is really what anxiety's role is it's just a way of telling us, pay attention. Something's going on. Something is not right, maybe. So one really important thing to do if you are struggling with anxiety, which again would be totally normal right now, is to stop and ask yourself, what is my brain trying to tell me? And that requires us to get a little still sometimes. You know, if you have to take some deep breaths, if you're experiencing physical anxiety symptoms like stomach aches or headaches or difficulty breathing, again, as uncomfortable as they're normal anxiety symptoms as well. And if you can kind of get to a place where you get really still and just really be able to calmly ask yourself, you know, what is my anxiety trying to tell me right now? And the next important thing to ask is it true? Because anxiety is very much about the anticipation of something happening. And right now, with all the uncertainty, it's completely understandable why so many people are struggling with what's next. What's going to happen next, what's not going to happen next, and all that uncertainty. And it just builds and builds to create this really anxious state for a lot of people of the anticipation of something bad happening next, because we have experienced so many crazy things this year that no one could have ever predicted. So it's valid. The uncertainty is real. But it is important to ask yourself, is it true what my brain's telling me that I need to be anxious about? Is it true? And ways to do that are, is there evidence? I often tell clients, we're not believing any thoughts right now unless there's evidence to them. Because our brains are really great at creating situations, and we believe them, and then it creates the feeling as if it's true. Kind of like if you've had a dream, and your husband or wife made you really mad, and you wake up angry at them, because you're going by the feeling as if it happened. But it didn't happen.
So that's interesting when you think about like being irritable. You talked about one of the signs is being irritable. You really have to stop yourself and say, okay, is it true what's happening? Or is this just me being super fragile? You know, and really take yourself out. If you've got kids, if you're able to open and have clients, if your husband's making you crazy, your partner's making you crazy, like go put yourself in the bathroom for a second.
I mean, take a breath.
And
definitely, like, times you can. I mean, I always like to be realistic. We have people at home distance learning, you know, with kids. They've never done anything like that. I'm certainly not a good school age teacher. That's not my lane to stay in. So I think also the other part is just a lot of self-compassion. You're supposed to struggle right now.
Yeah.
That's unfortunately where we're at. We are supposed to be struggling. So we really have to give up or surrender the belief that I should be doing better or I should be handling this better. That's not true.
I think we need to just be okay in 2020
right.
with this is going to suck.
Right.
It's been sucking.
Yes.
And it's going to suck for a little bit longer. So that's true. And that's okay that it sucks.
Right.
Right?
Right.
And be gentle with yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Ask yourself if the people that are around you are sucking too.
Right. Right, yes.
And how do you handle the suck?
Yeah. And I really like to encourage people to pick, you know, 4, 5, maybe 6 if you can, kind of non-negotiable or sacred 6, I call them, where it can be, I'm going to meditate for 10 minutes every day. I'm going to go for a walk every day if I can. 6 things that you only do for yourself that fill you back up or give to you. And a lot of times, for COVID life especially, this is a way we take our power back in a sense that COVID can't take that from me. So we say that a lot in my office lately and the hospitals I go to. COVID can't take that from me because it's taken so much from us that it's important to remember we still have control over things in our lives right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
One of the things that you shared is that you work with nurses and doctors. They're very similar to us in a lot of ways because we work with clients.
Right.
They work with patients.
Right.
Their patients are experiencing extreme anxiety.
Right.
So they in turn take it on all day long. We work with clients. The second they walk into your treatment room, it's like they are just able to share with you and share and share and share and share. And we're taking on all of this.
Right.
How do you share with your nurses and doctors and other clients how to not take anybody else's irritability the wrong way?
Right.
What are some tips you can give us to say, okay, clearly that person's irritable.
Right.
My husband's irritable. My children are, you know, insert person here.
Right.
So if you understand your irritability and your role in that and what you can do, how do we work with clients and their anxiety in a general way?
And I think that is a million-dollar question. And nurses and doctors are coming in and talking to me about that too. And I think, you know, that's where our boundaries are our best friend, really, in a lot of ways. And I also think it's important to remember you are in a position, of course, where they're paying you for a service. So we don't want to be unkind, and we don't want to lose perhaps the customer, maybe we do. But I experience a lot of that as well as a therapist. They pay me for a service. And also part of my job as a therapist is to have a really healthy relationship with that client. I want them to feel heard. I want them to feel cared about because I do care about them. But I'm also a human being as well, and can only take so much.
Yep.
So the way I define boundaries a lot of times is what's my job right now? What is my job? And the way you figure that out if you're having a hard time answering that is what do I have control over? I don't have control over someone else's life. I don't have control over the way somebody else feels necessarily either. I often, when I'm doing therapy with maybe a difficult client or have in the past, kind of try to envision even, I'm going to hold that for them, whatever they're giving me, and I'm going to put it down or give it back to them when they leave the room. I'm not going to take it, but I can help them hold it. Now, you guys aren't therapists, so I don't really even know if it's fair to say.
Trust me, they're giving it to us.
We don't have therapy skills.
Yeah, we have to tap into therapy skills we didn't know I needed when we went to therapy school.
I'm sure, yeah. So you're not licensed therapist, but you get to be there, do therapy on the fly.
Okay, right? And we're going to talk about that in other episodes
right. For
sure.
Yes.
For sure, because that is a huge one for us.
I can't imagine, I'm sure. And really, it's you're willing to listen. I mean, right? So that's what's going to happen is people tend to want to just, if you're willing to listen, okay, I'm going to tell you all the things right now because that person might not have really anyone else willing to listen right now.
Yeah.
So that's why the boundaries and you even having a good idea in your head before, no matter what client it is or what they walk in saying to you, you know how you're going to respond is a really good plan.
Is there something you can kind of have as your go-to phrase?
Uh-huh.
So I talk to the sugar audience a lot about, you know, focus on the sugar. Focus on the client. Focus on the sugar.
Right.
In my mind, when the client wants to come in and talk about all of the things, I kind of hold that for them for a second, but then I guide them back to the sugar, which is working on their eyebrows. Like,
right.
Talking about how your hair is really coming out so easily. What's up with this? Or your
right.
skin looks great. You know, like, focus on your balls.
Right.
Your sugar balls.
Yeah.
But I do, it's focusing on the ball of sugar and the work that you do, or the nails, or the hair,
yeah.
or whatever it is, and the work that you do. Is there a kind way that you can transition from, okay, I'm going to hold whatever you got going
right.
on for you, to transition to, let's focus on why you came here, which was to make sure your legs are smooth,
right.
or your nails were
right. That's your specialty.
Right.
That's your gift.
Yeah.
And I actually love the way that you even describe that. I think that is, and probably with experience, it gets easier for you to do
mm-hmm.
that. Same with a therapist. It gets easier for me to really just turn it off and go to the next client or go live my life. I think when you're starting out in that profession, it's harder to know how to kind of switch that or transition. And one thing that you were doing, Shannon, is that you were bringing them to the present moment, right? They're bringing in things that already happened lately, or they're afraid are going to happen. You can't control that. You have no power in what's already happened in this person's life or what might happen when they leave your office or your table. So I think that bringing them to the present moment is actually a really nice gift to give somebody. All of our power is in the present. We have no power in the past, and we have no power in something that hasn't happened before. So bringing someone to the present is actually a really kind, you know, nice thing to do for somebody, because it's important for their mental health, I think, too, to just realize, oh yeah, like, this is happening now, and I can, you know, focus on this thing that's happening in the moment.
You feel like you need a break for a minute.
Yeah, which is nice.
Focus on the sugar.
Right.
This beautiful little ball of sugar.
Right.
You know, focus on this. Focus on their skin.
Right.
Focus on them. The focus has not been on them. It's been on their kids, their job, their COVID, their,
right.
you know, protest, whatever it is.
Right.
And if we just focus on them for a minute,
100%.
It gives them relief.
It
for
does.
For the 15 minutes or half an hour you're with them.
Right. And I know how much you love being positive, too. So even maybe the wording can look like, no matter what they just told you or, you know, spilled, to kind of say, wow, I'm so glad you're taking this time right now for you.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I'm so glad you're making time right now for you to get your nails done. I'm so glad you're taking the time right now, you know, to get your eyebrows done.
Yeah.
Because it kind of makes them jump out of that, whatever they brought in, and go, oh, yeah, you're right, I am doing that.
Yeah.
Right? I am doing something well.
Yeah. I think it's really critical for you all to understand that our clients become our friends, but they still are our clients.
Absolutely.
And you can treat them in a friendly way. You can, you know, come and sit and have therapy with Rachel,
right.
and she's going to love up on you. But as a professional,
right.
Rachel is going to make sure that I have focused time on me. And I think it's really critical for you all to do the same thing. You are not licensed therapists, of course, but you're licensed professionals.
Right.
And so your job is to focus on the sugar, focus on them. And if you see yourself in that way, your clients will respect you more, but they will also continue to seek you out because you're a place they can trust. Like, I trust sitting on this couch with Rachel, having a chat with her, because it's about me for a minute, finally. Right? Same thing for all of you. When you're sugaring someone, it's about finally about them and their nose hairs. Like,
right.
Oh, yes.
Well,
and those nose hairs.
The similarity is it's self-care and an investment. Right?
Mm-hmm.
It is. I mean, therapy is an investment. Taking care of the things
yeah.
we care about in our appearance is an investment.
Yeah.
And it all adds up to feeling good about ourselves. And that's ultimately a huge life goal.
Yeah.
And a lot of times, human beings, we just are all guilty of it. We love to wait until things are kind of crappy to start taking better care of ourselves.
Yeah.
So I love that what you were saying, Shannon, too, was just that empowerment, I think,
yeah.
that you can really give them. I think empowering them is huge, especially you probably mostly work with women.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, women need that empowerment. I love that.
I think my guys do, too. What their hearts, they come in and they're getting their back sugared or something, and you know, there is
a lot of empowerment in that.
Yes. Pumpkins. I have anxiety too.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah. That anxiety is not skipping anybody.
Yeah.
Man, woman, or child.
Right.
Right.
And one of the other things I think you need to be mindful of is not bringing your stuff to the couch, to the table, right? And when I talk with Rachel as a therapist, as a licensed professional, she's not giving me her anxiety. She's put the boundary up and she's focusing on the now, which is this couch, right? Same thing for all of you. when you're focused on the table, it is not your professional job to bring them your anxiety.
Right.
So if you're like, oh my God, this is what's going on with me, and you know, we've been shut down, and can you believe it?
Right.
If you get caught up in that, maybe walking in the room, that's fine. The second they sit on this couch, the second that they lay on your table or sit in your chair for eyebrows, you turn it off and you're the professional, you focus on that sugar, you focus on the now, and it will be a huge game changer for them and for your business.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. And another part of that is that boundary thing, like you were saying, because just like I'm not responsible for somebody else, no one else is responsible for me, right? And so the boundaries, they do work both ways, and that actually creates really healthy relationships.
Yeah. Yeah.
Very much so. When you're in charge of you and I'm in charge of me, most of the time everyone gets along great.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's very helpful.
So let's kind of round this out with our intention for Sugar and Soul.
Okay.
And there are so many things that we could especially grab a glass of wine and talk about on this couch.
Yes.
But let's really talk about our intention for the next bunch of episodes, because I think it's really, really critical for you all to understand that when we get licensed as an esthetician, a cosmetologist, an instructor, a therapist, our job is to figure out, like, not only how to do the physical skill,
right,
but we have to address the soul piece for ourselves and for our clients. And so right now, the soul is feeling anxiety, right?
Right.
This 2020 has just come with the word anxiety stamped on it. We never, ever thought at New Year's Eve,
no,
2019 going into 2020.
Right.
It's supposed to be clear vision.
Yeah.
The 2020 vision we were going to have. Did the universe have a different plan? Right?
Right.
So now it's like, okay, anxiety is one of those things that we're going to be touching on, but we're going to really start talking about soul pieces in addition to anxiety that happen inside the treatment room, outside the treatment room, happen for you, happen for your client. And I think it's really, really important for you to address the soul piece. As much as I know that you're practicing learning how to sugar better, learning how to boost your business better, we all need a little therapy with rage to say, how do I do this part with my soul, their soul, just in general with what it is that we do.
Yeah.
So our intention with Rachel and on these episodes is to really take a topic, figure out why we're feeling this way or why our clients are feeling this way, and then some tools to move forward. So talk about that as like a tool in their tool belt with what you're able to do.
Yeah, just therapy in general.
Just, you know, it's not like anything is, we're not anything less by chatting with you.
No.
You know, coming to therapy, you know, this is kind of a safe way that you can come to therapy while you walk the dog.
Right.
And, you know, if you're in lockdown again, you can walk the dog and get some therapy with Rach, right?
Right.
But really, it's not about therapy as much as it's about tools.
Yes, definitely.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that when we kind of practice those soul things too, it is a really good, it's a way to fill ourselves back up again. And I'll probably always kind of come back to that no matter what our topic is, because really that, you know, when the stewardess says that on the airplane, right, you need to put your own mask on before you help the child next to you, it really does apply to life all the time. We're not our best, whatever the fill in the blank is, mom, partner, dad, esthetician, business owner, or whatever, if we're running on empty, it's just not possible. So there's lots of different ways to kind of, I think, just be kind to your soul in those ways. Yeah.
So we're going to work on being sweet and soul-filled
in
the next months and hopefully years to come. And any questions that you have for Rachel, feel free to put it in the Love Sugar community. You can respond here. You can DM me. You can email me. You know, we'll put those all in the show notes.
Yeah.
And let's pick some topics and ask the real questions.
Yeah.
Are you ready for that?
I'm so ready. Please feel free to ask anything. I've been asked everything you can possibly imagine. So no question is going to scare me, offend me, bother me. Yeah.
Okay. So there's definitely like topics that we're going to be talking about on Sugar and Soul, and there's going to be a lot of generic kind of broad topics, but I think a lot of people in the audience are going to have specific needs that they
Absolutely.
Specifically want to talk to you about. So we've discussed this, and you are going to actually offer your coaching services in the show notes below.
Yes.
And then if you're in the Sugar Tribe, you're actually going to get a coupon code inside the Sugar Tribe that's going to give you complimentary extra time.
Yes.
So thank you for that.
Of course.
But talk about the difference between therapy and coaching and how that's going to work for people that aren't in California and can't come sit on your couch, but need to be virtual. How's that going to work?
That is a great question. So the difference is that therapy, like you guys, we are kind of overseen by a board. Mm-hmm. So it's the Board of Behavioral Science in California. So my license for therapy is only good in the state of California because that's where I'm licensed. Coaching, they don't have a board that kind of moderates things like that. People can do trainings if they want to. So I also do quite a bit of empowerment coaching or relationship coaching. And the cool thing about that is that can be for anybody anywhere. So I can coach somebody in Australia if it worked out.
Awesome.
So the other thing to know about that is therapy is definitely going to be more geared towards a client who is having depression symptoms, something that a licensed therapist, it's only in their scope to really treat or work with. Coaches can help with tons of other things too, but when we get kind of more into the mental health piece, it's definitely more appropriate for a therapist.
Okay.
Yeah. And if you are not sure if coaching is a good fit or if therapy is a good fit, please feel free to ask me anything. You can email me at therapywithrach@gmail.com. And I'm always on my Instagram as well, and that is therapy.with.rach on Instagram.
That'll be in the show notes. Yeah. I can just push push the link.
Okay.
Yeah. I think it's really critical for people to understand that you're available to them.
Yes.
You're a person now.
I would love to be.
This is our couch now. She has our Love to Sugar pillars.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, this is so Sugar Show. Oh, I just need to add a yellow
pillow.
I'm not
Sugar Show too.
Yeah, I just need to add a yellow pillow.
Perfect.
I live in. Yeah, so we want to make this couch available to all of you. And that's why we're going to be here monthly talking about different topics. And Rach will be available for you. You can DM her
absolutely.
Or get involved. And the goal is to make sure that we work together to be stronger, to be empowered, and to be the most amazing version of ourselves. So that we can go out in the world and make a difference. So thank you so much.
Yeah, of course, I'm so happy to be here. Thank you.
I love that we dreamed this up. It's so fun.
And then nails on
your yeah. She was getting her nails done. I was getting into going into sugar. We were open like 3 weeks.
Right.
We just got to talking. It's a university.
Yeah, so definitely.
We look forward to seeing you on the next episode of Sugar and Soul. And again, if you have any questions, feel free to message me and I'll make sure I ask her on the couch. Have a great day.
Hello, beauty professionals and sugar professionals. This is Shannon, your sugar mama. I am really, really proud of this community and how hard everyone works all the time. And I want you to all know that there's so much education out there for all of you. And if you're kind of on the fence, you're not sure if you want a sugar, you want to just kind of see what the sugar thing is all about, we have a free Facebook group. We also, if you're ready to start sugaring, we have our basic certification course. And if you're an advanced sugar pro and you really got it all down, just need help with your business, maybe your technique, maybe some ideas, maybe some encouragement, we have the Sugar Tribe for you as well. So check any of the links in our show notes. They're pretty specific on all of the things that we have to offer as well. You can always go to our website, love2andsugar.com. Everything you need to know is there, from podcast episodes to a directory of sugaring professionals to information, advanced knowledge library. There's so much on there. So I look forward to meeting you at some point in the future. But until then, here are all the things that you can do to get yourself involved with sugar.